When we think about 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 7, which says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith, how might the doctrine of eternal rewards help us understand this passage? That is what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently talking about 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 7 in our series, which we're calling Test Yourselves, Approved or Disapproved. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are going over an article that Bob recently published in the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society. That's a kind of an academic journal that our ministry publishes twice a year, giving a forum for pastors and theologians to write a little more in-depth, longer articles than we would publish in our magazine, Grace in Focus magazine. So the journal is a great resource. It's $9 for two issues, and that includes shipping. So that's basically getting two books for $9 of really good Bible and theology material that if you have a basic high school or college education, you can definitely understand and profit from these articles. And we try to be picky about getting articles that are actually meaningful to regular people.
Well, that's a good point. I read, and I know you do as well, many different theological journals. I'm biased, of course, but I think ours is one of the most readable and one of the most practical of all the journals out there. Many of the journals go into the weeds, and you have to be a specialist in some specific area of theology. Like you have to be an Old Testament scholar to follow some of the articles, or you have to be an expert in textual criticism to follow some of the articles.
Right.
You know, one of the jokes is we're going to get an article on the sixth column of Origen's Hexapla.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Okay, great, but you have to be pretty much a specialist
yes.
in order that to be of interest
there's
to
about,
you.
There are about 20 people who might be able to understand it, and only five of them are actually interested enough to
yeah,
read it.
Right.
So we try to do our journal so that basically any pastor, but anyone could read this. We try to choose stuff that's practical to the church. For example, we're talking about an article that Bob wrote on 2 Corinthians 13, 5 to 7, where Paul makes this statement to the Corinthians. He challenges them to examine themselves. And we've discussed already, Bob, how the traditional interpretation is that Paul was asking the Corinthians to question whether or not they were born again. That's the traditional interpretation, and that's only going to lead people to doubt because it means, on the traditional view, examining whether you're good enough. They basically look at your works to see whether or not you're saved. But we're sinners saved by grace. If you look at yourself, what you're going to find is a sinner, and so there's no basis for assurance there. And you've argued, Bob, in this article that if you look at the context is not judging whether or not the Corinthians were born again or not. Basically, the Corinthians were challenging Paul's apostleship and his authority to speak for Christ. And Paul turned the tables on them and said, no, examine your own selves. But about that context.
Right.
You pointed out, or we started to point out in the last episode, that actually, in Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul uses lots of language that's only appropriate for believers. And it's clear he knows that these people are actually brethren. They're actually in Christ.
Right. And those terms are used both in 1 and 2 Corinthians. You can't say, well, wait a minute. He said they were in Christ in 1 Corinthians, but he never said that in 2 Corinthians.
Right.
No, in 2 Corinthians, he uses that twice in 1:21 and 2:14. And you can't say, well, he calls them brethren in 1 Corinthians, but he doesn't call them brethren in 2 Corinthians. No,
right.
He uses the term brethren three times in 2 Corinthians, always showing that they were born again in
right.
1:8, 8:1, and 13:11, which 13:11, by the way, is just a few verses after 13:5-7.
So if Paul really was questioning whether or not they were born again or not, you wouldn't expect him to use this language.
He wouldn't say they were in Christ. And he wouldn't say that they were brethren.
Right.
And he also wouldn't challenge them to be approved. Because an unbeliever is not seeking Christ's approval. An unbeliever needs everlasting life.
Well, that's the second thing we were talking about. In this passage, Paul uses these terms, approval and disapproval. And we started to talk about that a little bit. We were comparing it to the approval that a parent might give a child. The question is not whether my son and daughter is really mine. The question is whether I approve of what they're doing. You were suggesting that the same is true in the Christian life. being born again, being a child of God is one thing, but then getting God's approval, getting Christ's approval is something else.
Well, let's look at another passage where Paul uses the term adokimos, disapproved, but really it's often translated disqualified, unfortunately. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. And that's where in verse 27, Paul says he fears he himself might be adokimos.
Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it.
It is the prize.
The prize. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown.
A crown, as some sort of reward.
He's talking about athletes, right?
With the Isthmian Games and how they would get a crown and certain cash prizes.
And he's saying, look how hard they're working to get this perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown.
Okay, there's our prize, the imperishable crown. And by the way, a prize isn't a gift.
Right, and that's important because eternal salvation
is a gift.
Is a gift. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves.
It's the gift of God.
It is the gift of God.
Ephesians 2, 8, 9, yeah.
Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, disqualified for what? Disqualified from being born again?
No.
No, disqualified from getting this imperishable crown.
Right, and it would be better to translate it disapproved for getting this imperishable crown, which refers to ruling with Christ in the life to come.
Well, see, now that's probably a point of controversy here because people, I can imagine other Christians, Calvinists and Arminians, reading that passage and seeing, see, salvation is the crown and you need to discipline your body and you need to run well. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on final salvation.
That's exactly how they take it. I remember I was visiting with a leading pastor who also at the time was teaching at a leading five-point Calvinist seminary, and I asked him if it was possible to be absolutely certain that we have everlasting life and will never perish. And he said, well, no, because we could always fall away. And he cited this verse, and he said if Paul wasn't sure he was going to be approved, and which he understood to mean qualified for eternal life, if he feared he would be disqualified from eternal life, well, then how can I be sure? And so the Calvinist becomes essentially an Arminian. He becomes somebody who doesn't know where he's going.
And so our response to that reading of Paul is what we call the doctrine of eternal rewards.
Right.
A lot of people don't know the Bible talks about rewards in a way differently than it talks about eternal salvation. When Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven, he wasn't telling you how to be born again. That's John 3:16.
Right.
John 3:16 is how to be born again. Believe, and you have everlasting life. But if you want rewards, well, you got to lay up treasure in heaven. That's something else that you need to do.
Exactly. When you look at 2 Corinthians 13:5 to 7, one of the things a lot of people who look at it don't notice is how often the words dokimos and adokimos appear. In verse 5, yourselves examine as to whether you were in the faith, or do you not know this, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are adokimoi, unless you are disapproved. Then verse 6, but I hope you will know that we are not adokimoi, we are not disapproved. And then verse 7, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, that's dokimoi, plural, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disapproved, adokimoi.
Right.
And so this is the passage in the New Testament that has the most references to dokimos and adokimos of any other passage in the New Testament. In fact, it's the only passage where you have the term dokimos and adokimos in the same verse. That's verse 7.
Right. And by the way, in this article, you go through those other passages.
I go through all of them, yeah.
And that's what studying the Bible is involved with. You know, that's what you need to do exegesis, right? Figure out, what does this mean? What does Paul mean by dokimos and adokimos?
Right. Another thing to keep in mind, and we just looked at 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27, and Paul uses the illustration, remember, of running and of fighting, boxing. At the end of his life, he brings that up again in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. And there he's essentially on his deathbed. He's about to be martyred, and he knows it. And the Holy Spirit has revealed to him that this time he's not going to be released. And so he says this in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. Remember 1 Corinthians 9, 26? I have finished the race. So he's saying, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. This is the faith that Jesus gave him concerning the promise of eternal life. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Remember the crown?
Right. That crown that
he brings it up
for.
Here again. And he says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, he's thinking here of the judgment seat of Christ,
right,
will give to me on that day the judgment seat of Christ, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a rewards concept. So he explains 1 Corinthians 9:27 in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8.
And by the way, you've written a whole book on the concept, the biblical doctrine of eternal rewards.
The Road to Reward, it's called, yeah.
It's Road to Reward. You can get that at our website, faithalone.org. I will give 10 copies away. If you write to us at radio@faithalone.org and ask for a physical copy and you give us your physical address, I'll give it to the first 10 people.
In the U.S. of A.
Because guess
if
what?
You're overseas, it costs like $60
or
$100
to fly
to send
personally
it
personally and send it by
Sean
passenger
has to
pigeon.
Go over there.
It gets very expensive. But this is a truth that is not taught in most churches today, even though it's all over the New Testament, especially Paul. And if you don't teach eternal rewards, you are going to not understand verses that are not obviously about eternal rewards, like 2 Corinthians 13, 5 to 7. If you don't see the clear passages about rewards, like lay up treasure in heaven or 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15, then you're definitely not going to understand these slightly unclear passages. Well, we're going to have to talk about this a little bit more next episode.
Right. We could go over some of the practical problems with the traditional view and some of the practical strengths of the view we have. We could also look at all these individual passages, but that may take too much time.
Well, we'll see what we do next time. We'll surprise ourselves.
All right.
We'll surprise you.
All
right. So keep on listening to Grace and Focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to explore four problems with the traditional view of 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 7. You don't want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.